occurred to me I may have forgotten to actually introduce myself. So I'm Nick, and I'm normally found leading breakfast at 9 on a Sunday morning, but when we have special occasions like today, we like to join together with the other congregations in here, and it's cause for celebration. I think there are various things that children can do either in the quiet room or at the back. There's a Lego table. I can see Alfie waving at me at the back there. So there are various things because we haven't got the usual children's led activities. So if you need anything like that, those are the areas to go and find it. I'm going to say a few words, and then Kate is going to come and say a few things after me. And then we're all going to hold up strictly. No, we're not. No. There'll be no judging. Are there other men in the room who have to watch Strictly Come Dancing on a Saturday night? David, yes. Yes. I pretend I don't like it, but I'm always there watching. Whatever you do, don't get Naomi started on a Strictly conversation. So, baptism. Faith is a really important part of Matt and Kate's lives. And they'd like today to make the first step towards introducing Winnie to a life where faith is also very much at the centre. The God of the Bible, of the Christian faith, is more than just a story to read about. It is, we believe, a reality, a two-way relationship which gives humanity direction, hope, joy, and purpose. And it's the first step on a journey of faith that we are together baptizing Winnie to today. See the font at the back here, we'll bring that forwards in a bit. Because baptism is a public declaration to God, to members of the family, the church, and Matt and Kate's own family and friends. It's a declaration of faith, and a declaration showing a desire for Winnie to grow up in an environment of faith, where she will hopefully engage with God herself. It's also an act of hope. Hope that we, their family and friends and godparents, would support them as they raise Winnie and help her as she grows to become the person that God hopes that she can be. In a short while, Matt and Kate and the godparents of Winnie are going to come up here to the front, where they will be asked to share some statements of faith. One of the questions which they respond to is, "Do you turn to Christ?" And they answer, "Yes, I turn to Christ." And in effect, they're saying, "I am exercising a choice, a response to love, and I turn to face him, to meet him, to walk in his way in relationship with him." Within Christianity, the sense of unconditional love begins at the baptism of a child, which should be understood not as a reminder of the mistaken notion of original sin, but as a symbol of God's grace, of unqualified acceptance. In a consumerist, celebrity-obsessed culture, what could be better than to assert the priceless value of a tiny, vulnerable example of humanity? A child who has achieved nothing more than to have survived their entry into the world and contributed nothing apart from the gift of their presence. But it doesn't stop there. We all need to know God's love as a practical reality in our lives. And let me be clear, there is nothing more fundamental to the Christian faith than the message that God loves us. Nothing. It's what the word grace means, God's gratuitous acceptance. No strings attached, no conditions. In fact, whenever conditions are attached to God's love, the message is, I believe, undermined and falsified. And sadly, too many people live outside of the love of God and the church because of this very mistake being made. To be honest, I've come to think that the challenge confronting Christians is not that we don't believe what we say, although that can be a problem, but that what we say we believe doesn't seem to make enough difference, either for the church or the world. Perhaps because we don't focus enough on communicating that fundamental message of God's love. Praise God, I've seen many, many lives transformed by the realization of God's unqualified love. This, I think, is the real power of the Christian message, so often buried under tons of religious dogma that has nothing to do with the teaching of Christ. Knowing that God loves and values us can enable us to value ourselves better, to develop self-esteem and respect. And this provides the basis for making better choices in life, for strengthening personal integrity, and for empowering us to decide who and what we wish to be, instead of being pushed around by the whims of others or by the fashions and trends of the wider culture. The heart and soul of true faith is this: to love and to be loved. In fact, the Bible only gives us one definition of God. God is love. The book of 1 John says this in the Bible: those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And I come back to a verse which I read at Matt and Kate's Baptism of Rupert a few years ago. In the book of Romans, the Bible says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I'd like to also share with you a wonderful line from The Cloud of Unknowing, where an anonymous 14th century writer writes this: it's not what you are or what you have been that God looks at with his merciful eyes, but what you desire to be. And so the challenge lies in how we respond to God's love. Engaging with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is truly life-changing. It offers us life at its most complete. Grace, love, hope, and joy. This is what attracted Matt and Kate to faith in Jesus, and what they commit to passing on to Winnie through the baptismal vows today. No one forces them to do this. It's a choice, and one which we hope that one day Winnie will make for herself too. I shared with the Breakfast at Nine congregation a few weeks ago the statistic that healthy children laugh on average about 300 times a day, whereas adults only manage about 5. A wonderful man called Pete Gregg writes in his book, Dirty Glory, that Jesus calls us to be like children, to find delight in life continually, to trust easily, to understand simply, to receive freely, to imagine extravagantly, to play readily, to learn humbly, and to laugh a lot at the sheer absurdity and wonder of it all. I couldn't put it better myself, so I didn't try to. It's God's kingdom that he's talking about, and it is worth being a part of. So, to conclude, may we look to God for grace, love, hope, and joy in our faith. May we do all we can to support Matt and Kate as they raise Winnie to know this faith. And may we do all we can to support Winnie as she learns about faith for herself and seeks to understand what it means in her own life. Amen. Kate.
Two things before you make your judges. My shoes, one. Two, my props. So, no tank top is going to beat that. So, in true English teacher style, I have a poem that I would like to read. It's by Philip Larkin. It's not the Philip Larkin poem. For those of you that know it, if not, look it up. It's got rude words in it. It's not that one. So, Philip Larkin was a bit grumpy, actually, and I did a bit of investigation into him, and he had a really interesting relationship with God as well, which was another reason why I'm reading this. But he writes a good poem. So, this one is advice to a baby girl. Born yesterday, tightly folded bud, I have wished you something none of the others would. Not the usual stuff about being beautiful or running off a spring of innocence and love. They will all wish you that. And should it prove possible, well, you're a lucky girl. But if it shouldn't, then may you be ordinary. Have, like other women, an average of talents. Not ugly, not good looking, nothing uncustomary to pull you off balance. The unworkable itself stops all the rest from working. In fact, may you be dull. If that is what a skilled, vigilant, flexible, unemphasized, enthralled catching of happiness is called. So, yeah, I know. So, a little bit of GCSE poetry analysis for Sunday morning. Here we go. Ready? Okay. Larkin thinks that happiness is found in being ordinary, the suggestion being that happiness can't be found in creating one's own perfection, the endless honing of beauty or intelligence. He hopes that this little girl, once she is a woman, will accept her own normality, because that acceptance will free up space and time for something else, maybe something bigger. Larkin calls this happiness, but you can fill that gap for yourself. If time was not spent preoccupied with our own beauty and brains, then we might have the potential for more. Accepting the ordinary in ourselves maybe pushes the extraordinary outside of ourselves. Maybe contentment, peace, charity, love, freedom, or even God. I'm not sure. There's a lot more to discuss here. But it's a wonderful thought for our daughter and why I love this poem so much. And it's also a push to us as parents to not continually talk about Winnie as a potential concert pianist and maybe just accept her for what she is. Especially in a world where the pressure to be personally exceptional at everything, to strive, to challenge, to fight all the time can be overwhelming. So, what we really hope, this is an elaborate introduction to the craft, is that our little Winnie learns from the people in this congregation, who I'm not going to talk about too much because I will weep.
The ones who are so comfortable inside their own ordinary skins that they have found the surplus time and energy to bombard my family with love since we arrived in Swanage. And those who have given us peace through completely accepting us, dull bits and all, and thus given us time to play more and be part of this very special community. So before Andrew leads us in the baptism, in place of the traditional breakfast at Ninecraft, we have a small task for you. I'm reading this for the first time myself. Winnie is obviously having a lovely day. But she won't remember any of this. So to make sure we capture the wonderful wonder that is in the room, we are going to have a book filled with your advice, verses, prayers, drawings.
Oh, I can't take it anymore. We are going
to... Nirvana, lyrics, whatever you really want.
We're going to make her a book filled with advice, verses, prayers, drawings, Nirvana lyrics, whatever you want, really. So at the end of the aisles, there's
paper and pens.
Stop!
And back of the chairs.
If he's allowed up here, we'll do a dance routine, just please. So, there's paper and pens in the back of the chairs, so write on them, put your name to it if you want to, and then put it back, and Rupert's going to come round with a box to collect them. I think you've probably got about 3 minutes before Andrew calls you to order. Yes, thank you.